This morning, our gospel lesson is taken from the second chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, verses 36 through 38. There, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, Luke wrote these wonderful words of life, words concerning a wonderful example of faithfulness and devotion to God for us to follow. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Spirit of the living God, we do pray that you would fall afresh upon your people in this glad hour, that you would grant us to see the redemption of Jerusalem, the Savior of the world, that you would grant us to embrace him by faith, to feast upon his body and blood by faith, to hear his voice, the voice that bids us to enter into life and to experience more fully the abundant life that is ours in him. Move, Holy Spirit, in this place. Touch every heart. Grant us to see our Savior and be assured of our Father's love. And equip us, Lord, to follow in the footsteps of Anna, brimming with faith, brimming with joy, so much so that we can't help but tell others about the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've seen in our series in Luke's Gospel, on the 40th day of our Lord's life, Mary and Joseph took him up to Jerusalem to present him at the temple in fulfillment of the law of Moses. After making the prescribed offerings, the young family was greeted by a man named Simeon, who was awaiting the consolation, the comfort of Israel, the long-promised Messiah, and to whom the Holy Spirit had revealed that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Anointed by God's Spirit, Simeon took Jesus into his arms, blessed God, and declared the song that we call the Nunc Dimittis, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." This Savior whom Simeon was holding, not just the Savior of the Jews, but for the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And as we read this morning, there was another faithful servant of the Lord who came upon the scene. She was yet another Jewish saint, like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and Simeon, awaiting the coming of the Christ. And her desires for that incarnate Savior of the world, that long-expected Jesus, her desires were granted that day. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Boy, was that promise made over to Anna. on Presentation Day, the day our Lord was brought into the temple on the 40th day of his life. She beheld her longed-for Savior. She gave thanks for him, and she began to tell others about him. What a pattern for us. We see Jesus. We have an encounter with him. We come to know him. And then we get about the business of telling others about him so that they can know him too. So let's consider this wonderful scene under two headings this morning. First, Anna the prophetess, and second, the redemption of Jerusalem, whom she celebrated and about whom she shared with anyone who would listen. First, Anna the prophetess. Her name means grace, and she was a humble recipient of the grace, the undeserved favor and love of God. Her father was Phanuel, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Penuel, which means face of God. It was at Penuel, the place, that Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob named the place Penuel, saying, "I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Anna was of the tribe of Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob and the second son of Leah's handmaid Zilpah. He was named Asher, or happy, because his birth made Leah very happy. So Anna was a faithful descendant of Israel through Asher, and she lived up to all these names of those who had gone before her. She was a recipient of grace. She lived up to her own name. She also knew God face to face. She knew what it meant to wrestle with God and to prevail with God for blessing through fasting and prayer. And she was happy in the Lord. What a picture of a godly child of God. And in addition, she was a prophetess. The Old Testament tells us about several prophetesses in Israel. In Exodus, there was Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses. Our call to worship this morning was taken from her song in Exodus 15 after the defeat of Pharaoh and his armies at the Red Sea. Miriam, the prophetess, led the women of Israel with tambourine and dancing and sang, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously," our call to worship. "The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." And there was Deborah, a prophetess and judge in Israel, and Huldah, the prophetess who is mentioned in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and Noadiah, who's mentioned in Nehemiah, and an unnamed prophetess mentioned in Isaiah. These were women through whom God spoke to his people, revealing his will and declaring his salvation for his people. And Anna was not the only prophetess that Luke tells us about. In Acts chapter 21, Luke tells us about the four daughters of Philip, who had also received the gift of prophecy. So, before the coming of Christ and leading up to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, individual believers in the Old Testament, men and women, were given unique anointings of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit in unique ways to be prophets and prophetesses, foretelling the coming of Christ, celebrating the redemption of the Lord, foretelling what was to come, forthtelling what was the will of God for his people. But with the coming of Christ and with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the prophecy of Joel has been fulfilled that all God's sons and daughters will be prophets and prophetesses, each one of you who believe in Jesus are called to be a prophet or prophetess. You're called to tell the world about Jesus. Anna, in her day, was uniquely set apart to do that. And we see her fulfilling her mission in our passage this morning. Saint Anna was a prophetess, whom Luke tells us was also a widow. She was advanced in years. Again, that's a nice way of saying she was old. Advanced. Let's don't use the word term. Let's don't say old. Someone says advanced. Period. Advanced. They're just advanced. Now, there is some question of exactly how old she was. One way to understand what Luke wrote in the original was the way that the ESV translated it. He said that she was 84. The ESV, rather, says that she was 84 when she saw Jesus. But it can also be translated that she had been a widow for 84 years. According to that translation, if she had gotten married when she was, let's say, 16, which would not have been uncommon in her day, she would have been around 107 years old when she saw Jesus in the temple. Either way you translate it, she was advanced. She was advanced. And Luke tells us that this godly, beautiful, wonderful woman, radiant woman of God, you've seen the Rembrandt painting of her. If you haven't seen it, look it up when you get home this afternoon. Rembrandt's painting of Saint Anna the prophetess. The radiance. This beautiful woman of God. Luke tells us she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. It's probably a bit of hyperbole on Luke's part. He wants us to understand that she was faithfully in the temple, worshiping the Lord on a regular basis. Sometimes if somebody is applying for a Christian ministry, whatever it might be, I'll get a request from whatever ministry it is. Can you vouch for this person that they're an active member, a regular attender of your church or something like that? Well, she was definitely an active member, a regular attender. There she was, regularly, without fail, in the temple, worshiping God. Her heart was like the psalm that we read earlier, saying from Psalm 84, from the sons of Korah. She loved to be in God's house. Her heart also was like that of David from Psalms 27 and verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That was Anna, seeking the face of God, where God was revealed in a special way in the Old Testament. Remember, in her day, if you wanted to see God in a special way, you went to where God dwelt in a special way, and where God was worshiped in a special way, where sacrifices were made to God in a special way. You went to the temple in Jerusalem. But we need to be reminded, we constantly need to be reminded as God's people today, as New Testament saints, that paradigm has shifted. In the Old Testament, everyone had to go to Jerusalem to see God and meet with God. With the coming of Christ, who was presented in Jerusalem on the 40th day of his life, we see him again when he's 12 years old in the temple in Jerusalem. He's there throughout his life, and there he went. In the triumphal entry, he had set his face like a flint to go there to die for our sins. There he did die for our sins. There he was raised. And after his ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem at Pentecost, that paradigm has changed. No longer is Jerusalem the epicenter to which everyone must make pilgrimage. Now Jerusalem is the place from which the gospel goes out to the nations. No longer do the nations come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is, God's people, go out. Jesus said to his disciples right before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. There's the key word, witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. No longer could God's people just think, okay, the nations are going to come to us. No, no, no. Now we are supposed to go to the nations. So we can't expect people to just come to us. We can't expect people to come to us. When people come to us, we are excited. We're thrilled. We're thankful. We pray for that. But we got to go to them. We've got to get out there and love our neighbors and serve our neighbors and serve our community and get more engaged. Get more engaged and be open to the Holy Spirit to lead us to be his witnesses here in Ballantyne and to the ends of the earth. I was so encouraged this past week, speaking of people getting engaged in ministry, someone said that at the PRC Sunday, the Sanctity of Life service, the Holy Spirit moved in their heart. They had been thinking about a particular ministry along those lines, given their own gifting. They've been thinking about it. You know, we're good at thinking about things, aren't we? They've been thinking about it. And they said the Holy Spirit convicted them to stop thinking about it and do it. As this person said, put faith in action. Let's let that be the theme for this year, theme for 2020, faith in action. Let's go out and bring people to Jesus. Let's see him work as never before. Remembering that the temple's not in Jerusalem anymore. And the temple's not in this little valley here in Ballantyne. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You. The temple has feet now. Your feet. And how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So you go out as a prophet or prophetess and you tell the world, tell your neighbors and your friends and family, co-workers, you show them, let us show them the love of Jesus, the joy of his salvation. Let us be radiant with his love and show them Jesus and tell them about Jesus. As Anna did, when and where she was called to do it, she told them about Jesus, whom to know is life and whom to serve is liberty. So if I start serving him more, it's going to cramp my style. No, you'll be liberated more. What's pictured before us right here is a liberated woman. Not as some would count it, but she was a liberated woman. Because to know the Lord is life, and to serve him is freedom, liberty. And so she told all those who were waiting on the redemption of Jerusalem about the redemption of Jerusalem, that he had come. That's our second point. She came up at that very hour, began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. William Hendrickson put it this way: we may picture Anna as being in one of the courts of the temple, perhaps the court of the women, when she sees Joseph and Mary with the infant Jesus. She carefully observes Simeon as he takes the baby into his arms. She listens to the words of his nunc dimittis. She distinctly hears every word, and she is convinced that this child is indeed the Messiah. Anna, advanced in years, receives a 40-day-old baby boy as her Savior. That's humility. She rested her eternal soul, her eternal destiny, not on her works, not on her fasting or praying or prophesying, not on her knowledge of the Old Testament in and of itself. She rested her soul, her destiny, on the love of God incarnate, the baby born to Mary. And so as we close and prepare to share in the supper of our Lord together, I want to ask you, is your faith like that today? Is it alive like that today? Is your faith like that of Anna, looking away from yourself and to Jesus and resting only in Him? May each of us know that rest, know that joy of Jesus, His shed blood, His full redemption, forgiveness of all our sins, adoption into God's family with His irrevocable love. May we know that today. Everybody, if you're watching online, if you're here in this sanctuary, don't get up from where you are without receiving Jesus into your life by faith, that you might know Him and have eternal life in Him. And may each of us follow in Anna's footsteps as we worship Jesus all our days and tell others more and more of His redeeming love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.